Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Pastor mentioned the world situation. Have you ever looked at our world and all the stuff that's going on and thought, everything that I see, we must be so close to the end. The rapture must be just around the corner. You know, the Antichrist waiting behind the scenes to come on. And we look at all the events around us. We see the wars. We see the rumors of wars. We see the earthquakes the Bible talks about in this last, 100 years. There are more earthquakes than ever throughout history, but greater and greater in intensity. And you see more famines and plagues and things like that. You look at the governments of the world. They're all waiting for someone to step in and help them. You know, the one world leader that they can all rally behind. You're looking at, they're all getting together for a one world currency. You see all the religions merging together. You look at professing Christendom, and the Bible talks about just before Christ's return, there will be a great falling away, and we see that in our day. You look at, even in our own lives, if you're a believer, I've talked to a lot of believers lately, and they mentioned that they feel so much spiritual warfare going on in their lives compared to years in the past. And but we look at all the signs of the times, and we focus on the events. But what's more important is a person. And in Revelation 5, it says this, I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And basically what this book is the title deed to the earth. Man lost that dominion in the fall. And this is in the end times where, during the tribulation, it talks about time when the Savior will come back and rule and reign, judge this world. And it's saying, hey, here's this book. Who's worthy to open this book and the seals and set everything in motion? And no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open the book and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And but then the chapter goes on to talk about one person that was able to. And I'll get back to that in a minute. But all throughout the Old Testament, from Adam's and Eve's fall on, they were looking forward to a Messiah. The first thing, as soon as Adam and Eve fell, God provided a sacrifice of the lamb to shed his blood, to cover their sins, and eventually the Messiah one day would come and bear those sins away. And you go to Genesis 22, and Abraham's offering Isaac, and Isaac asks him, where's the lamb? And he says, God will provide himself a lamb. And then you go 400 years later, and you've got Israel in Egypt, and God was teaching them about the Passover lamb. All these things pictured the Messiah that would come. And then you go to the New Testament, and you got John the Baptist saying, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And that's why Christ came the first time to be our sacrifice for sins, our perfect sacrifice. And almost the end of the New Testament, 1 Peter 1, it says that we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That lamb came 2,000 years ago. But there's another side to the lamb that the Bible talks about. In Genesis 49, it talks about a coming king. It says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. It's saying, Judah's going to be able to reign. They're going to have the right to reign until the Messiah comes. And if you study out history, Christ came before Herod took away that authority for the Jews to reign. And all the way through the Old Testament, it talks about a coming king that would be like David. And you go to the New Testament, and Jesus is called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the one that earned the right, the name above every name. And you come back to Revelation 5, and this is interesting. He wept because no one was worthy to bear or to open that scroll. But then it says, one of the elders saith unto him, weep not. For behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. But the thing I wanted to focus on is he talks about the lion and the lamb. It's the same person. 2,000 years ago, he came as a lamb, but he's coming again one day as the lion. He's going to set this world in order and rule and reign, but we're just waiting for that time. So this poem I actually found it in a box last week, something from 24 years ago, and I didn't remember writing it, but as I was reading it again, I remember being intrigued that in the same passage, two verses apart, it talked about Jesus as both a lamb and a lion. So this is called When This Lion Begins to Roar. The lamb is coming back again. This time it's not like before. The world will never be the same when this lion begins to roar. Once meek and lowly like a lamb, riding gently upon a colt. Now with vengeance unrestrained, like a charging thunderbolt. Once a sacrifice for sins, perfect holy, white as snow. Soon his wrath will begin against this world. Woe, woe, woe. All creation groans in expectation, waiting for the Messiah promised long before. As our sacrificial lamb, Jesus opened salvation's door. As the sin-cursed world rushes towards its destiny, and men seek Babylon more and more, the Lord will come like a charger trained for war. Get ready, world. This lion is going to roar. I'll just leave that with you.